Colossians, the first chapter. This book was written by Paul the Apostle. And it was written in Rome while he was in prison. Most of his letters were written while he was in prison. And the occasion of the letter, which this was a letter to a church at Colossae, the occasion of the letter we'll get into a little bit later. The occasion is not the importance, and the truths that Paul wishes to bring out are not brought out in the introduction part of this book. And for emphasis sake, I'm going to hold off on giving you the occasion of the letter for the time when we get into the very heart of what he's trying to share with the Colossian church. But I just want to deal tonight with the first verse of the first chapter. The Lord's been dealing with me about relationship or relationships. And that's where my heart has been in searching the scriptures and seeking to see the face of the Lord. And I believe that's where Paul begins. I think his very being was swallowed up of his relationship, and yet not his relationship, but a relationship that he had entered into, and that of the Father and of the Son, which John writes about in 1 John. And Paul, well aware of that relationship, and on the basis totally of the relationship that he has with the Lord, writes unto the Colossian church. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother. He identifies himself and the writer of the letter in the first word, Paul. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle. And immediately I began to think of all the scriptures that had to do with being an apostle. And immediately my mind began to run to the true relationship of every believer, and that relationship is that of the Son of God. And the relationship that we have and that we've entered into is a relationship with the Father and the Son, and that we are sons of God first and foremost. And I began to think about this truth of apostle, and indeed he was. An apostle means one sent, anyway. The word apostle in the Greek means one sent. And we'll get into the greater truth of that, but I just started thinking about the scriptures about apostle, and some thoughts came to me that maybe you've never thought of before, or maybe you have, but it gave me a little bit different view of some things. An apostle, and my mind immediately ran to Ephesians where he says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry, and on and on. But I began to think about the fact that there in that list were apostles, prophets, there were all these offices. There were, in a sense, these great men, although he didn't have any man in particular when he named them off, and yet men stepped into those positions, and men immediately became pictured as great men because you're an apostle, or you're a prophet, or you're an evangelist, or you're a pastor and or a teacher. And in the minds of believers, there's a bad habit of immediately lifting somebody up because they see something that they feel is higher than them. They say, well, if I could only be an apostle, if I could just be a prophet, or... And they immediately, the relationship they have is not based on the life that they have within, but some ministry that they see manifested. And I think these things are there. They're given of the Lord, and they're important. And yet, the thing I immediately noticed was he said, and he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to the body. To the body. The thing that was important to the Lord was the body. The thing that the Father sought to edify and sought to build up and sought to solidify and sought to minister to was not some great man or great men, but rather the body of Christ. And instead of men being placed up in the forefront, and instead of the body coming and gathering around, you know, men that were called great, that were called on the basis of apostle and prophet, when on the basis of that, instead of that taking place, the Father had in mind when He gave them just ministers. And Paul describes this over in 1 Corinthians, where he talks about Peter, and some say I'm of Paul, and some say I'm of Apollos, and he says, you know, he says, we're nothing but ministers by whom you believed, but we're given to you. We are, and minister means servant. But the important thing is that the Father has in mind the ministry of the body, and the ministry of the body is made up of believers. And the important position I saw here was not apostle, but a son of God. Sons of God, that the Father is, and what is He doing? He's not just giving gifts of knowledge to sons of God, though He may do that. He's not just blessing sons of God with some of the spiritual gifts, the nine spiritual gifts, though He does that. But He's making and conforming sons of God into the image of Christ. And Paul here, Paul, an apostle. And Paul describes the way he sees Paul, and we hear it just about every service in this place. And I think, well, I think some might, you know, just that scripture might just rush out there and people get so attuned to hearing it, but it thrills my heart to hear it. Galatians 2:20. Paul states his position, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. Paul, when he states Paul, he understands not Paul, but Christ. But Christ liveth in me. And I am an apostle. I am one sent. I am one sent, but before I am sent, I am a son of God. And God's not going to send some stranger off the street. He is making and building a body, completing and ministering to His body, and He is forming individual sons of God.
Forming individual sons of God, so that each one knows or Paul knows that the life that they have is Christ, and that they're not the great. You know, it's wonderful to have but to stand in the position of an office. But it's not anywhere near knowledge of the relationship that I am a son of God, and the life that I have is not my life, Christ. You know, you might feel a great burden to be an apostle, as Paul did, I'm sure. You might feel all the burden of all the churches on your shoulders, and you might go about and minister and do a lot of things, and you might even be lifted up in men's eyes. But the greatest thing is that Paul knew, and the thing that he boasted of more, he boasted in the life of Christ. And that he was a son of God first. And that he didn't just do what he did because he was an apostle, but because he knew the life that was in him. And as we go into it, we'll see that the apostle being one sent is one that is one sent.
I was thinking about the one sent. And of course, scriptures always come to mind when you begin to meditate on certain portions of the scriptures. An apostle is one sent. And Galatians also, in the fourth chapter, came to mind. God sent forth His Son. John 3:16, God sent His Son. And I began to realize that even the office of an apostle was based also on the life of Christ. That God sends His Son. He sends forth His Son. If it's in salvation, He sends forth His Son. The Father sends forth His Son. And if it's in the first advent, He sends forth His Son. And if it's in Revelation, the Father sends forth His Son. And if it's at the rapture, the Father sends forth the Son. One sent. And the one sent, whether it be to us or in us, is to be the Son. You see, we talk much around this place about sending, and I wonder sometimes if we really understand what we're saying. We talk about teaching, training, and sending. And some might say, well, I want to be taught and trained, but I don't want to be sent. I'd like to stay here. You don't know what we're saying. We're not talking about just sending people out as soon as you graduate. We're talking about, first of all, teaching, training, and sending. All three areas we're basing on the life of Christ, and the necessity of sending is based on the necessity of having a message. For God doesn't send lest you have a message. His purpose in sending is because you have a message. I was looking over, and turn with me if you would to Isaiah, the 6th chapter. I thought about Isaiah over here. Here he was a man who was a prophet from chapter 1 to chapter 6. He'd been a prophet. He'd been a prophet for years. But he lacked something. Amen. He was a prophet of God. He spoke the words of God. He was a spiritual man. He was looked up to. He was in the court of King Uzziah. But something he lacked. And it's found in the 6th chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Though he'd been a prophet, or though you're an apostle, or though, you know, you can stand in offices and you can be endowed with gifts and still not know the Lord. He'd been a prophet for years. He'd been a man of God for years. I'm sure he loved the Lord for years. But he was not yet one sent, because he didn't have a message yet. Oh yeah, he received the words of God, but he himself did not have the message. And the message is eternal life. The message is Christ. And though he spoke the words of God, and though he was in tune to the Spirit, yet he did not yet know the Lord. And so here he sees the Lord. Now look down in verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, now this is after he's seen the Lord, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. See, he's ready to be sent now because he's got a message. And the message is based on seeing the Lord. And the sending is based on seeing the Lord. And there's no need sending somebody if they don't have a message. And when I use the term message lightly, because you must understand the message is Christ and Him crucified. And the message is life. Paul described this message when he said, whom we preach. Whom. You know, we might slip, you know, we'll be talking and we'll say, yeah, we preach about this message because it's really good. But Paul didn't slip. He said, we preach this message, and this message is a whom. Whom we preach, warning and sharing with every man in all wisdom. And that's in Colossians, which we'll get to. But it's important to be sent because it's important to see the Lord. And if you never see the Lord, there's no need for sending. Now, you may not be sent to Africa. You may just be sent right up here to this counter. You see, we always think the worst. I remember when I came to a certain fellowship, I was going to be an evangelist, and had been in a great sense. But, you know, I was going to be a God's man of the hour. I knew I was touched, blessed of the Lord, and the Lord was doing great and mighty miracles through me. And so I was going to be an evangelist, because that's what an evangelist does, you know. The Lord had given me the ministry of an evangelist. See, he'd heal people and miracles and things, and therefore somebody, you know, the place began to teach, in this place we only send out missionaries. And I said, oh well, I'm not going to be a missionary, Lord. You know, I'll stay here just long enough to get this message, and then I'll go before they, you know, get a chance to send me out to be a missionary. I'll stay just long enough so I can get this message. The longer I stayed, the more the message began to get me. And you know, all along I was saying, no, I'm not going to be a missionary, Lord. And there's been very few times that I've ever told the Lord I wasn't going to do something. And every time I've ever, in my case, every time I've ever told the Lord I wasn't going to do something, this may not be the right way to say it, but he shoved it back down my throat and I've had to do it. You know, I never did become an evangelist, but I was a missionary for several years. But I realized when I saw the Lord, I didn't hear a message from the pulpit and gather it all in and get down all the terminology and think what a wonderful place and what a wonderful group of people and you know, we've really got a corner on a beautiful message and I'm going to go share that with people. No, when I saw the Lord, I had a message and you couldn't keep me from going. Because I finally had something to share. Yeah, Isaiah was a prophet, but when he saw the Lord, and the Lord said, okay, it's sending time, he said, here am I. Have you ever been afraid to go out on meet human need, you know, knocking door to door? Because you felt like you didn't have anything to say? You know, because you knew you didn't really have a message yet. You felt awkward. But on the other hand, let's look at it like, have you ever really been searching the scriptures and fellowshipping with the Lord, looking into the face of Jesus, and then just get the urge to get up and go out and talk to somebody, anybody, it doesn't matter if they're walking down the street out here or wherever, if you have to go knock on somebody's door. I've just seen the Lord and I've got to share Him with somebody. You see, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about ascending that's based on the life of the Lord. And when Paul said, Paul an apostle, he wasn't saying, Paul an apostle. That's probably the height of spirituality. You see, there's apostles, prophets, and apostles are number one, and there were 12 of them walking with Jesus, and I'm even one, and there's not too many of us around. I didn't even walk with Jesus. I'm so spiritual, I'm right up there with the best of them. That wasn't his spirit, and that wasn't his knowledge. He said, Paul, one sent, because I've seen the Lord, and I've got a message. And the message is a whom, and I've got to share it. I am constrained. The love of God constraineth me. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and it's important to be sent. When you understand the principle behind it, you see it is important to be sent. You don't start rejecting those thoughts in your mind and say, well, there are certain people around here who are meant to be missionaries, and no, we didn't say teach, train, and make missionaries. We said teach, train, and send. Missionaries, as far as that word, isn't even used in the scriptures. But being sent sure is. You search the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th chapter. Just read it in John, the Gospel of John. 5, 6, 7, and 8. And over 20 times in those few chapters, you're going to find Jesus saying, the Father sent me. I am sent from the Father. Now that's an awful lot amount of times in one little space. It's all throughout the whole book, and it's all throughout the whole Bible. But I, while grabbing my concordance to see how many times, because I knew that in reading there, it seemed like just about every other verse, he kept going, you know, well, what's so important about saying that? You know, he couldn't just say me. He said me that is sent from the Father. And he kept stressing being sent. Even the Son of God was sent. And he was sent not with his mind, his doctrine, his will, his way, his words, his works, but he every time and at every turn he says, not my will. It's not my doctrine. The works that I do are not my works. The words that I say are not my words. He was sent. He had a message, and the message was life. And the message wasn't his life, but the life of another. The message he ran with was not his life, but the life of another. And I realized a scripture over in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 18. I began to search the scriptures over here. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses beginning at verse 19. All the way down to verse 32, there's a story here. There was a battle going on, and Israel, David, were fighting against the enemy. And there's a story written here, verse 19. This is 2 Samuel 18, beginning in verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. You see, the battle's going on, and they're up there, and the leaders are up there, and they're watching the battle, and it's being carried on. And this man comes up, and he's the messenger, and he says, let me go and tell the king what's going on. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to the Cushite, go tell the king what thou hast seen. Go tell the king what thou hast seen. And the Cushite bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but come what may, or your Bible says, howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after the Cushite. Here he is, he's the first one up, and he says, I'm ready to run. I'm ready to go tell the king something. I'm ready to go bear a message. I'm ready to get out here and do something. You know, he had a lot of zeal. He said, no, you're not ready. You're going to run another day. Let's let this guy over here, let's let him do it. Because he's going to go tell what he's seen. Because he's seen something. So he sends him, and this guy runs back up and says, well, come what may or howsoever, just let me run. And Joab said, why wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? Why do you want to run? Why do you want to go? Why do you want to be sent? Well, because I got a burden. I got a burden for those people out there. I really feel led of God to serve the Lord, and I got to run this race. He says, another day. You're not really ready yet. He says, oh, but I got a burden for Africa. Having a burden doesn't constitute a sending. Let me tell you. There are lots of people that have burdens to go certain places. And in God's eyes, that doesn't constitute a sending. And that's the problem with a lot of places today. Lots of people running because they've got a burden, being sent because they see a need. And seeing a need does not constitute you being sent either. You know, just because we look out here and we see all these people are so destitute, they're dropping off into hell like flies. And everywhere I look, I see nothing but all sinners, and they're just lying and wallowing in sin. And boy, they sure do. You know, it's just pitiful out there. While the need is so great, that doesn't constitute you being sent. Not if you don't have a message. Paul said, Paul won sent by the will of God, not because you feel like running. By the will of God. You're sent by the will of God. And so seeing a need or having a great burden, I think those are probably part of it. Maybe the burden is preparatory and the need is definitely there, and you make judgments in preparations on the basis of that, maybe. But if you don't have a message, there's no need in going. You're going to get over there and you're going to tell them everything but Jesus. Why wilt thou run? If you're not being sent, you're not ready. If you're not desirous to be sent or have a message, then you're in the wrong place. Because that's what this place is here for. That we might see the Lord. And that in seeing the Lord, then we might be sent to whosoever will. Regardless of the need. Though there is need, Jesus said it, need is everywhere. Need is everywhere. And you're all wanting to run out there and meet need. But this woman sits right here at my feet, and she's chosen the better thing. The need you have with you always, but you don't know me. You don't have the message. Why wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. But just before that, he says, as much as in me is, I am ready. He had tidings. But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Amen. That's the way it usually turns out. All right, run. You got a burden, run. The brother that was here the other day, Sharon, said, God will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. He certainly will. You just better get your desires in line with His. Because when you start screaming for quail, He's going to give you quail until it's coming out your nose. Amen. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But I think it's better to get your desires in line with Him and your will in line with Him, so that when He says, you're not ready, you have no tidings, you don't have the message, you haven't seen the Lord yet, you say, okay, I'm going to sit and learn Jesus. But so many don't. They say, no, I'm ready. Run. Go on and run, man. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and outran the Cushite. Boy, this guy is zealous. He outran the Cushite. But the scriptures tell us that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The race is not to the swift. Just because you have a lot of ability, and your ability to excel, that's not what God's looking at. He's not interested in your ability to excel. That doesn't make you a priority candidate to be sent of God. He doesn't consider your abilities. He considers, do you know the Lord or not? You say, Paul said it in Galatians, the first chapter. He said, I was more zealous than all my brethren. And I searched that out in the Greek once, and the Greek gives the idea of, I outdistanced all my brethren, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of the Father. He outdistanced him. The race isn't to the swift. Priority isn't given to someone with extra abilities. Someone who's fast. Someone who's zealous. Somebody who... And they may really love the Lord. And I think that they, most of them probably do. But the Father says, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? Or are you going to get out there and open your mouth and feed them garbage and make them twofold the child of hell that you are? What are you going to do? If you're going to go out there and just feed them, pat them on the back and tell them Jesus loves you, that's not life. They need life. They don't need their flesh petted. They don't need food in their belly. Though you may do that while you're sharing the Word with them, but it's no substitute for sharing life with them and then handing them bread also. When you get out there, you got to know something. And that's something, because everything else, when you get out there, and I'm talking through experience. This isn't somebody up here that says, boy, I bet the mission field's tough. I've been there. And it's no tougher than this place when it comes to living the life of the Lord. I said it's no tougher than this place when it comes to living the life of the Lord. It's just a little more obvious over there that you need Jesus and that these people are here at your door because they need Jesus. And if you can't feed them, if you can't set the table, if all you got's a few crumbs to throw out there, then you fail God, you fail your sending, and you fail yourself. He said, run. And he ran. He outran the one that was sent. I bet he thought he was something, too. Just look at me. Boy, I'm faster than this guy that they sent. What's so special about him? I'm even faster than him. He started before me, and look where I am. Do you have the message? Do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? That can just get sing-songy, can't it? I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about your mind so full of the Word of God, the light comes in and blinds you. And you cry just like in Isaiah, which part we didn't read, woe is me. But you say, I saw the Lord. And the angels start crying, holy, holy, holy. And you are swallowed up of Christ, and the darkness flees at His presence, and the Lord is the life. Not you doing your best for the Lord. And I know we share this continually, and thank God it's shared someplace continually. But may it not become a ritual and a sing-song and just a message. May we realize that I need Jesus. Amen. It's good that I do whatever I do and I get involved. Whatever I find my hand to do, I put it to. But I need Jesus. And you need Jesus in me. And I need Jesus in you. We're not talking about being good Christians in this place. We're not talking about just being saved. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture I shared some time ago, the Lord didn't create the earth in vain. He created it to be inhabited. You and I are the earth, and He didn't create us in vain just to give us a few blessings. What else? Did we have this treasure? David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running along. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there are tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. Another man. But bring to mind any scriptures like maybe Romans 7 where it says we are married to another. Not the old man, another man. Not the one that abideth alone like the first one, a man running alone, but another man. The watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, I think the running of the foremost is like the running of Amaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, listen to this. The king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. He's a good man. Good intentions sometimes deceive. Good intentions sometimes can be deceiving. He was a good man, but he didn't have a message. He might have loved the Lord. He might have been blessed of the Lord. And there are a lot of good people. There are a lot of good Christian people that are sent or that go. They've got good intentions. They run, but it's deceiving because people say, well, he's a good man, and they listen to the good man. When in truth, there is none good but the Lord, and except you run with the message which is Christ, then you have nothing to share. Being a good man isn't what it's all about, but he's a good man, and so it was deceptive. Paul said, there are many who run, and some are the enemies of the cross of Christ. This man may not have meant to be an enemy of the cross of Christ. He may have come and just shared all these good things, you know, and we'll see what he shared. But it wasn't the cross. And therefore, he's an enemy of the cross because he's sharing everything else but Christ and him crucified. And Amaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God. And this man's full of praise too, who hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Amaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. I knew not. This is the way most Christians see it, you see. They say, they see from their viewpoint, just as his, well, you know, this is how I saw it, he said. I didn't know, but this is how I see it. I didn't really have knowledge, but this is how I saw it. This is the way I see it. There's a big battle going on. And every day, that's what it is. They get up and it's just a big battle. You know, and they say, boy, blessed be the God, you know, blessed be the Lord thy God and all this. But they, to them, there's just a big battle. And that's their message, you know. Well, it's going to be a big battle, but, you know, we hope the Lord's going to end up with the victory in the end. Well, they don't know anything about the cross, where the victory is already. Just a big battle going on. He was ignorant of the true message. And notice he said, I saw a great, he saw the battle. For him, that's all he saw, just a big battle. But I knew not. The king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. Just get out of the way. Just a big battle going on. That doesn't help me. That's not life. That's not what it's all about. And behold, the Cushite came. The Cushite said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them who rose up against thee. And the king said unto the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? And the Cushite answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against thee to do thee harm be as that young man is. In other words, he's dead. Verse 20 describes that young man. Verse 20 says, the king's son is dead. The one with the message knew that the king's son was dead. That a death had taken place. That the king's son had died and therefore the battle's over. I said the king's son has died and the battle is over. There's no battle going on. The battle's in the ignorance of our mind. The battle's the fact that we don't know the message. The battle is we haven't been sent. And therefore, we're jumping up, battling God, trying to get him to send us somewhere. trying to do something for God, trying to be an apostle, trying to be something for God, trying to do or be something. He doesn't want apostles. He wants one cent, and then you'll be an apostle. You see, and we get it all fouled up, and we're trying to do something. We're trying to be something. He knew the true message, that the king's son was dead, thank God, and the battle's over. And on the basis of that message, Jesus Christ and him crucified, I've got nothing left to glory in. I've only got this message. I'm only reduced down to this. I'm not anything. Apollos is not anything. Peter's not anything. Corinthians, he says there in the first chapter, we don't have anything left but a message, and the message is Christ, a life, Jesus Christ and him crucified, and the king's son is dead and risen again. Thank God. I enjoyed this search. Paul, back in Colossians, Paul an apostle. Paul, one cent of Jesus Christ. One cent of Jesus Christ. By the will of God. Well, thank God. Let's close tonight again with a word of prayer.